Good morning, Overflow. Well, good afternoon, depending on what side of the bed you woke up this morning. All right. Well, we are grateful for some good weather on today. It looks like it's going to be warming up, right? So we're all excited about that. Winter is behind us, right? Well, at least we think, right? Because it is Michigan, right? But, you know, of course, until we hit 90-degree weather, and then the next thing you know, we'll be praying for fall to come. So we are always complaining about something. We are in the middle. We can never stop complaining, right? We always complain. We are in the middle of a great and phenomenal series, just like you just saw, that is related to who is Jesus. And Jesus has declared, especially we see it clearly in the book of John. We see it also sprinkled throughout the other three gospels as well, in which Jesus declared himself as I am. And so the whole purpose of this and the whole meaning behind this particular message is Jesus is really helping us to understand his relationship with us as well as his relationship with his Father. But the ultimate reality that Jesus is helping us to see is that we are completely reliant upon him. That in order for us to be successful, in order for us to go abundantly into life and live it to the fullest, that we need him. And so today we are talking about a message that is rooted in this whole theme that is, I am the vine. I am the vine. And if you are like Pastor Elijah, please close your ears because you are not a gardener, so this may be confusing to you. But for those who are gardeners, this is going to make a ton of sense, and hopefully you will be able to follow the symbolism and the imagery that Jesus gives with this message. So let's go to John chapter 15. I will be reading it from the easy-to-read version, ERV, for clarity. John chapter 15. And let us stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 15, starting at verse number 1. And then it says, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. He also trims every branch that produces fruit to prepare it to produce even more. You have already been prepared to produce more fruit by the teaching that I've given you. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. No branch can produce fruit alone. It must stay connected to the vine. It is the same with you. You cannot produce fruit alone. You must stay joined to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I to you, you will produce plenty of fruit. But separated from me, you won't be able to do anything. If you don't stay joined to me, you will be like a branch that has been thrown out and has dried up. All of the dead branches like that are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So stay joined together with me and follow my teachings. If you do this, you can ask for anything you want, and it will be given to you. Show that you are my followers by producing much fruit. This will bring honor to my Father. I've loved you as the Father has loved me. Now continue in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commands, and he continues to love me. In the same way, if you obey my commands, I will continue to love you. I have told you these things so that you can have true happiness that I have. I want you to be completely happy. This is what I command you. Love each other as I have loved you. The greatest love people can show is to die for their friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I tell you to do, I am no longer calling you servants, because servants don't know what their master is doing. But now I will call you friends, because I have told you everything that my Father told me. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I gave you this work to go and produce fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As I mentioned before, the Gospel of John is full of a lot of imagery in which Jesus gives to his disciples. And a part of it is because the writer of John wants to focus on the intimate relationship that Jesus has with his disciples. It shows the connection, the relationship, how Jesus related to his disciple, and the level of in-depth conversation that they had. And so because of that, we see a lot of images. We see a lot of parables. We see Jesus who will show himself as a particular thing that they would understand, right? We just saw it in the video. Jesus says that I am the door. I am the way. I am bread. I am water. I am the great shepherd. Those help us to understand and connect with Jesus' words and how he has and can impact our lives. And so in John chapter 15, Jesus uses a simple analogy that anybody during in this particular time would be able to understand. Because they lived in the world that was dominated by an agricultural society. It was one of the leading industries within their economy. And so you could go to the average person and ask them about or tell them about something related to a vine or something related to a tree or something that's related to a bush, and they would completely understand the analogy because this was the world they lived in. Now, for us today, which is a tech and digital-driven society, right, we say something about a vine, the first thing we think of is red vine, right? We're thinking of a licorice type of candy, right? Because many of us, as Pastor Elijah mentioned, he professes, he confessed himself that he's not a gardener. And so for many of us, we don't understand the whole nature of gardening. We don't understand the whole nature of what it takes to grow from the ground all the way up. And so for you who are like that, I just want you to think of the song that Marvin Gaye and the Temptations sung a long time ago, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Let's think of that. I heard it through the grapevine, right? So when we hear Jesus call himself a vine, just think about I heard it through the grapevine. Because what Jesus is ultimately saying in this message is that he is the source of our existence. He is the source of our nourishment. He is the source of our life. And so without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can't succeed. Yes, we can live our lives. We could go throughout the world meandering through, but we won't be able to live it abundantly according to his ability and power. That without him, there is despair. There is chaos. There is confusion. There is destruction. But with him, there is peace. There is joy. There is happiness. There is contentment, even in the middle of a storm. That no matter what we face, because he is our source, he gives us everything we need at that particular moment. And so Jesus calls his disciples to make sure at all times they are connected to him. He helps them to understand this reality that if you are always connected to me, then you will always be productive in everything you say in everything you do. But at the end of the day, I want us to remember one particular question. And I want us to ask ourselves throughout this message and throughout the week, this simple question. And that is, am I connected to him? Many people feel like they are. There are people here in this particular church that feel like they are connected, but they are not. And so for the remaining moments, I want to talk to you about three principles and ways in which we will know and can know how we are connected to the source. These are three ways in which we can understand whether or not we are getting our nourishment from the true vine or we have another source that we are connected to. Now, the first way that we're able to understand whether or not we are connected to the source, the vine, is that we must bear fruit. That's the first thing. The first reality is that we must bear fruit, right? Not every now and then bear fruit, not occasionally bear fruit, not maybe bear fruit, not when I feel like it, I'll bear fruit. We will bear fruit. Now, later on, I'll go into discussing and talking about what this fruit means that Jesus talks about so many times throughout the gospel. But right now, just know this reality that in order for us to be connected to him, a part of our responsibility and duty is to bear fruit. Why is that? Because the original intent of a grapevine is to do what? Produce grapes. You can't be a grapevine and there are no grapes that are growing on the vine. It makes it useless. So what Jesus is saying is that if you are of me, you will produce fruit. So if you are not producing fruit, I don't care how many years you've quote unquote been saved. I don't care how many years that you've been in church. I don't care what titles or positions you held and all the magnificent things that you did in church when you were in Sunday school and you could remember every Bible verse. It doesn't matter. Because if you are not producing fruit, you are not one of his. Now, Jesus even goes on further. Now, not only must you produce fruit, you must produce much fruit, which means the power of God, the anointing of God, his word is so infused in you that fruit is just coming. It just won't stop coming. It's like roaches. They're just everywhere. It's just dropping out of the ceiling, out of the closet. I mean, they're coming from the ground everywhere. Somebody needs to hear the word roaches. Because God calls us to produce much fruit because it's evident that we are connected to the source. The second way that Jesus gives us and helps us to understand how we know we are connected to him is not only must we bear fruit. If we stop there, we're lost. We must bear a certain type of fruit that he says in John 15 is good fruit. Now, Jesus didn't go into detail in John chapter 15, but in Matthew chapter 7, he goes into greater detail to explain and to clarify what this good fruit is. And he says in Matthew chapter 7 that you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. If it bears bad fruit, this is not a good tree. But if it bears good fruit, this is the right kind of tree. So not only must you bear fruit, right? But if you stop there, you still can be lost. It's the first step, but it's not the last step. You must bear good fruit. Now, at this particular point in time, I will explain to you what Jesus means when he says fruit. When Jesus says fruit, for us, he's referring to what we do. But it's not just what we do and what we are doing. It's deeper than that. What Jesus is actually saying is that what we do and what we say, it's all demonstrated and displayed by the character and the likeness that is within us. And that character and likeness must reflect Jesus. So in essence, if we do things out of a wrong motive, if we do things not out of sincerity, if we do things not from purity of heart, it doesn't matter what we do. Now, I know that's going to burst some of your bubbles, because I know for many of you, you were thinking that if I just go to church, I'm in. If I just go to prayer meeting, I'm good. If I just lead a small group, Jesus, I've done my job for the day, leave me alone. But it's deeper than that, because Jesus calls us to reflect what Paul later on calls in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit. And if we do something that is not reflected out of the fruit of the Spirit, we are doing it of our own accord and based on our own selfish egos. We're doing it to make ourselves look good. And that's what we have in our churches today. People who live by a Burger King type of Christian philosophy. They want Christianity their way. And if they can't have it their way, it's their way or the highway. There's so many people who feel like they didn't cut their own deal with the Holy Spirit. I mean, they have. They feel like, look, Jesus, this is the way it's going to be. You either take it or leave it. This is who I am. Either you accept it or not. Do you accept it, Jesus? If you don't, I will cancel you, right? We really would cancel Jesus, wouldn't we, in today's culture? Because that's the mentality that we have. It's all about me, myself, and I. It's all about, and that to Jesus is producing bad fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that good people will do good things. Good people will produce good fruit. How many of you all had an apple or an orange or something, and it looked so good? And you went to bite into it, and you said, this is the nastiest thing that I've ever tasted. Because on the outside, it looked the part. But on the inside, it was rotten. And so we have people today that on the outside, exterior, they look good. They look the part. They look saved. They look holy. Jesus dealt with them all the time. He called them Pharisees. And so we have Pharisees in the church today. They look the part. They look like they saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. They look like they can pray long prayers, and these prayers reach the ceiling and reach all the way up to heaven, and God will say, oh, man, I am so impressed. But inwardly, they are just as dead as a rotten apple. That's because they produce bad fruit. So it's not about what you do. It's not about, but about what you say. It's about the heart and what you do it in the heart and what you say it. How do we know this is the case? Because later on in Matthew chapter 7, he goes to clarify even more for those who were confused about the whole analogy. And he said, there will be many who will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Lord, didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I raise the dead? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I have miracle crusades? Didn't I pack out arenas in your name? But he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you, because they were never connected to the source. They were connected to a source, but they weren't connected to the source. And so there are going to be some televangelists who will be surprised. There's going to be some faith healers, some naming and claiming preachers that will be surprised. There's going to be some pastors who will be surprised. Because even though they were producing fruit, they weren't producing good fruit. And the last principle that Jesus gives us to help us to understand whether or not we are connected to him, is that not only must we produce fruit, and much fruit. And not only does this fruit have to be good, but this fruit that we produce must last. And inherent in this message that Jesus says in John chapter 15, that the fruit must last, is the fact that we have to recognize and understand that what we do is not about me, it's about him. And that's a hard reality for many of us, because we feel like, Lord, I did this. I accomplished this. I went to school. I got a bachelor's. I got a master's. I got a doctorate degree. And Jesus has said, how were you able to do it? Because I'm the source that gave you the ability and the strength and the power to do it. But what we've done is we've created a culture in which it's about me, myself, and I, and look at what I've accomplished. We have created leaders who have created and built monuments and palaces to themselves that they call churches. And in the entryway of these churches, they have big, huge pictures of themselves hanging that says Reverend Dr. Bishop Apostle. And what this says is that it's all about me. It's all about look at what I've done and look at what I've accomplished and look at what I've achieved. I've literally heard out of the words of some pastors that look at what God has made me into Solomon. The last time I checked, Solomon was back in the Old Testament. Solomon does not live today. Because they have designed it based off of them. And that's the reason why those buildings tend to go into foreclosure, because they forget that the true source of the resource is the one who can give you something that can sustain itself and last throughout time. I remember my wife and I, when we lived in Detroit, we used to go to our favorite fruit and vegetable market, which was Randazzo's. And we would always go there because it would always be the cheapest fruit, right? Always looking for a discount. And so they would have these strawberries that's on sale for 99 cents a pound, right? And I pray for the day when Meijer could offer them 99 cents a pound. You know, please, just one time, 99 cents a pound. Right. And so, you know, your boy would just go overboard. I got to get 10 packages. And Marie would tell me, she would be like, now, you know you got to eat this within the next couple of days, right? I'm like, well, no, I mean, it didn't last for a couple of weeks. She was like, you know good and well that by day 3, all of these will be molded. And sure enough, day three, they wouldn't last. Because the source that provided the nourishment to these strawberries weren't strong enough to keep them lasting for a long period of time. See, the reality is sometimes we could draw from a source that will produce the fruit, but because the fruit is not rooted in the source, it will not outlast us. Therefore, it will eventually die. But Jesus is saying that if you're connected to him, if you're connected to this particular source, it will outlive you. As the praise team comes, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I connected to him? Am I living my life out of another well that will run dry? Am I living my life out of bread that will mold? Jesus is at your door knocking. And I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you've been in church for 40 years. I don't care if you've never been saved. He's at your door knocking, saying, I want to be your source. I want to give you life. I want to give you life abundantly. Because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. Cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Will you give it to him? Or are you going to be like the branch that says, well, no, I got my own source that will eventually be pruned off and will be discarded and thrown into the fire? My prayer is today that you will seek him wholeheartedly. Seek him as the source of your life. And if you do that, the source will provide you with all the resources you need to live life to the fullest. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for this word. I pray, Lord, that we live by this word, knowing that you are the vine, that you are the source of our strength. You are the source of our lives. And I pray that we will submit our wills to you. Let us live lives that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We declare before you that our hearts belong to you. Let your will be done through us. It is in Jesus' name.